Today's Shia is Masechta Chulin, Dav Zayin. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yizbarach on Dav Vav Amud Beis. 13 lines from the bottom says, the Gemara Heyerd, Rav Yeshua ben Zaras, ben Chamash Rameya, Lefnei Rameya. Rameya, he said about him, Shachal Alay Shiyarek Beit Shan, that he ate the leaf of a vegetable in Beit Shan without taking off Meiser. Veti Rebbe as Beit Shan Kula, based on what he heard, Rebbe said that we could eat vegetables that grow and fruits that grow in Beit Shan without taking off Meiser. Al Yodai, because based on this testimony, he felt that he felt comfortable to take this approach. According to the simple pshat in this brisa, Zaris, the Gemara is saying, was the father-in-law of Rameya. The Malay Haroyim in Masechta Pesachim says that Rameya's wife was actually Bruria, who was the daughter of Rav Chanina ben Trajan. So according to that, he asks, Rameya's father-in-law was Rav Chanina. So he says that the simple way of learning Peshat in this Gemara is that Rameya had another wife besides Bruria, who was the daughter of this Bazaris. But then he wants to suggest that Zaris was the son of the son-in-law of Rameya's father-in-law. And that according to that interpretation, Zaris was the son of Hananya ben Trajan. So he says it's a possible pshat, but according to that, it should have been a little more explicit in explaining in the Braisa who it was. Continues the Gemara. Chavar lav achiv v'beis aviv, his brothers, his whole family, v'amrlai, and they said, makom shavasecha v'avos avasecha, the place that your fathers and grandfathers, nag v'issa, treated it as a place of Isser. They treated it as a place that is considered Etz Yisrael, and because of that, it's considered Etz Yisrael, one has to take off Trumas and Maestris, Vata Tenek by Heter, and you should take this approach of not being concerned. Darash Lahem, so at that point, Rebbe responded, Mikrazeh, based on the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Bechizkiyo HaMelech, Melech of Yehuda. The Pasuk says, Vechites Techash Nechashis, Asher Asa Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had made a copper snake. Makla Yisrael did Navera. Until that time, this copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, they were worshipping, and they call it Nechashtan. So, says the Gemara, similar approach. Efshaba Asa, we had Asa, who was a melech before Chizkiyo, and did not get rid of it. Obay Yashofet, and Yashofet came. And as we learned in previous year, Yishafat was a tzaddik, v'loi birei, and not destroy it. V'loi kval kal avayda zar sheba olam, all the avayda zar that existed in their times, asav yishar ba'aram, asav yishar did destroy. And why didn't they destroy this avayda zar? Must be, because makam anichalai avaysav, there's gadabai. There are times left over that are left over for tzaddikim to do things that weren't done in previous generations. So he says, "V'af ani." So here too, I said that Beit Shan is not considered Eretz Yisrael. Mokem enichal avayser l'skadabai. Men shemayim, they left this for me. So then Yaakov asks a question. How could Rebbe rely on Eid Echad that says that this is not Eretz Yisrael and just that should be satisfactory? Isn't there halacha that when it's Chazik Yisur, when a place is determined that it's Osir, one Eid is not sufficient? So ask Taishas, if this was, a Beit Shan was a place that was always a place that they gave Trumas and Maestris, as the Gemara says, so many years, how could he just abolish that? So then Yaakov says that there must have been somebody else who also said this, But because that other individual was not as great as Rabbi Yishuv ben Zoras, they didn't mention his name. Another pshat that he suggests is that this isn't considered a situation of Eschazik Isura. Eschazik Isura means that it was definitely considered a place that's part of Eretz Yisrael. What really happened, he suggests, is that even the previous generations had a suffix, weren't quite sure if it's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, that's why they were machmer, like it is Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't as chazak as surah. But then other Rishonim Tosfos and the Miri asks that the Gemara Masechta Pesachim teaches us Dvar HaMatarim, something which is halachically permissible, V'cheirim Nogu Ba'Isser, and people are machmer, Iyat Rishoy L'Tirm of name. You can't be lenient. So once Beit Shan was considered like Eretz Yisrael, how could they now be lenient? So the Ran answers that this is only a concern where people, based on a legitimate chumrah, want to be machmer. But in a place where it's a mistake, a place that's a mistake, the whole hanhoga, there we don't say this rule. And in fact, based on that, we have an answer to the Ein Yaakov's question, where the whole is chazik isurin is just based on a mistake, that's not considered as chazik isura. There's a very big question in the Rishonim. When we speak about the chiyuv of trumas and maisris, does it apply in chutz laretz? When and where? Certainly, midaraisa, the chiyuv of trumas and maisris, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, however, holds that the taking off of trumas and maisris from dogon, from grain, and chutz laretz is midrabanan, and vegetables and fruits are potter. Rabbeinu Tam says that when we know for sure that it's tevel, then you have to take off truma and maestris even in chutz laretz. The only time we could be lenient is by the mai. The Ramban also differentiates between tevel and the mai, but he says the mai is potter in chutz laretz only by vegetables and fruits. By dog and tirish v'yitzer, we have to be machma on the mai, even in chutz laretz. But he also says that the whole din of taking off trumas and maisris and chutz laretz are only in countries that are close to Yisrael. But countries, and that's what Rambam also holds, that only countries like Bavel, which are close to Yisrael, have the din of trumas and maisris. If they're not close, then there's never a chiyuv of trumas and maisris. The Yerushalmi says that vegetables and chutz laretz have no chiyuv of trumas and maisris. Other fruits, he says, have a chiyuv of truma gedoyla for not maiser. Dog and tirish v'yitzer have truma and maiser in chutz laretz. So now, based on what we just discussed, the Rishonim already discussed, why do we not, b'zman hazeh, take any trumas and maisris from anywhere in chutz laretz for any type of produce? The Shalmi quotes Rabbi Yochanan that says that the Yerushalmi already says that that this rule became bottled. This rule was abolished. The Rabbeinu Tam explains the reason, because we don't really have full ownership on these properties. The government has a lot of control on these properties. The government makes us pay tax on these properties. And therefore, since the government makes us pay tax, it's not considered really our property. Another explanation that Rabbi Yerucham says that the non-Jews were obligated to give taxes to their church. And if we're going to start taking off trumas and maisris, they're going to make us contribute to their religion. And in order to make sure that was not going to happen, they just abolished the chi of taking trumas and maisris under any circumstances from chutz laretz. Rabbi Yonason Steif has a different explanation. He says that the concern is, we know when we think about Trumas and Maestris, the Aloch is that you're not allowed to take Minaptor al-Achiv from something that's obligated a Maestr for something that's not, or vice versa. If there will remain, he says, a Achiv of taking Trumas and Maestris and Chutz Loretz, there's a concern that we may take from Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz and vice versa, which is halachically unacceptable. And because of that, they just decided that they should not take off Trumas and Maestris. They should not take off Trumas and Maestris and Chutz Loretz. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim when our Gemara is saying that they the Beit Shan became potter because Kutcher Rishonim Kedusha L'Shat V'La Kutcher L'Asa Lavai. Even though it became Kaddish when they came by Beis HaMikdash Rishon, it didn't remain so by Beis HaMikdash Sheni. The question is that, what does that mean? So Rashi seems to learn that Beit Shan was exempt from Trumas and Maestros on vegetables and fruits. But Togin, V'Tirish, V'Yitzer, they remained obligated to take. Rabbi Tam says that it was only Demai that was not applicable in Beit Shan. Everything else was. Ramban says it was the Mai, and only vegetables and fruits. But the Rambam's opinion is that the area Beit Shan is completely potter from Trumas and Maestris. The Gemara said that Chizkiyah was left there. The opportunity to burn the Nechash HaChoshes. The question is, what happened till then? If it was being worshipped for Avodah Zarah, and Osa and Yeshafet destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, why did the night destroy this? So I saw that the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov says that because they had a dilemma. On one hand, it was a thing that was being worshipped as Avodah Zarah. But on the other hand, it was something that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, they were most reluctant to destroy something that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. And therefore, they just left it the way it was. Until Chizkiyahu saw what was going on with that. And especially, I saw that the Yaris Tavash explains that in the time of Chizkiyahu, there was a tremendous uptake and people learning Torah. And since at that point, people became much more involved in learning Torah, there was a concern that the reason he suggests they kept the Nechash and Nechashis, he suggested the reason they kept the Nechash and Nechashis was because it was used as a refuah. But once Klal Yisrael became so involved in learning, the Torah is the one that brings the best refuah. Since the Torah brings the best refuah, that's why Chizkiyahu felt comfortable in destroying it. The Shal Satshuva Shara Ephraim discusses the minig that we say on Shavuos on the morning, the first day of Shavuos, Agdomis, and they say, and there's different minhagim when we begin saying the Agdomis. Some have the minig that they say Agdomis after the person who gets the aliyah makes the Birchas HaTorah. And he says that we know that that's not really appropriate. But the halacha is that a minig Yisrael takes precedence. And that's why Mokem Ninichu Lizgader, that sometimes there are opportunities that are left for us to make minhagim that maybe weren't there in previous generations. Says the Gemara Mikan, says the Gemara, based on this entire discussion we learned, the Talmud Chacham Shama Dava Halacha, if Talmud Chacham says it's Var Halacha, Eimav Zichna, so we shouldn't separate him, we should respect it. Vamriloi, and some say the way to say it is Ein Maznichna, so we don't say that it wasn't the right thing to do. Vamriloi, Eimav Zichna, so we don't tell him that you must have done this because of gaiva, of arrogance. Respect what he did, says the Gemara. Each way the Gemara explained what is the reaction has a basis. Explains the Gemara, Man does Omer Mechzichen, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'layizak HaChoshen, the Choshen should not be separated from the Eifed. The Talmud Chacham who says something like this should not be separated. Man does Omer Mechzichen, the Ksiv, K'layiznach L'Olam Hashem. Hashem will never despise Klai Yisrael. Man does Omer Mechzichen, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mesech the Saita, Mishirabba Zuchuche Leiv, when there were more arrogant people in Klai Yisrael, at that point, Rabba Machlokes B'Yisrael, there were more Machlokes in Klai Yisrael. And here, we don't consider such a person arrogant. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Maskula, Rabbi Yehuda, the Bereder of Shimon Pazi, Omikla Mandam, the Beishan La Metzisrael, he, can there be an opinion that suggests that Eretz Yisrael is, that Beit Sham is not part of Eretz Yisrael? For Ksiv, the Pasuk says, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, the Loi Horish Menashe is Beit Sham, is Beneser, is Tanach, is Beneser, that the Bnei Menashe, that Beit Sham was in their territory, that, and they should have eliminated the Canaanim who lived there, did not do so. So obviously, it was part of Eretz Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, Eretz Shemitze, he forgot, there were many cities in Eretz Yisrael that were captured by Klai Yisrael when they came up from Mitzrayim, the time of Yeshua, and they became sanctified as part of Eretz Yisrael. But when they came up the second time at the base of Megdashani with Ezra, they didn't sanctify those places. And Kesavar, Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shatav, like Kitchel Slavai, the original Kedusha of Eile Mitzrayim, when they went to Golis, became nullified. Venicham, and the Eile Bavel did not sanctify all of the same area that was sanctified the first time, for the specific reason, Kadesh Yismuch Aleim Haniyim Bishvias. In the Shemitah year, everything is Hefker. If everything is Hefker, there are no Trumas and Maestris. If there are no Trumas and Maestris, then it causes a lot of problems. The Aniyim, who rely on the Matnas Aniyim, won't have Matnas Aniyim. And therefore, because they didn't need all this area, they specifically did not sanctify all of the area, so there should be place left over for poor people to get Trumas, to get the Matnas Aniyim during in the Shemitah year. The difference, the source for the nafkamina between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia, is based on Gemara in Masechta Yevamos. The pasuk says, "V'yaviach Hashem al kechel aris ashirasha v'sechel v'yirishta." So the pasuk speaks about two Yerushas, the fathers and the son. And what we learn here is Kedusha Rishona. The Kedusha Rishona was not there permanently. The Kedusha Shnia is there permanently. And when Mashiach comes from Herb Yemenu, Eretz Yisrael will not require a re-sanctification, because all of the part of Eretz Yisrael that was Kaddish from the first time will remain Kaddish the second time. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that even though we're learning now in the Gemara that the Kedusha Rishona was bottled, became nullified after they went to Golus, that does not apply to Yerushalayim and to Migdash. And he explains, and this is the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halachat HaZvav, and Halachat HaZayin. He says, because there's a fundamental difference how Eretz Yisrael became Kaddish versus how Yerushalayim became Kaddish. He says, Yerushalayim became Kaddish because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekaddish it, because the Shekhinah was there. And the Shekhinah that's in Yerushalayim will never disappear. And because that Shekhinah will never disappear, therefore, Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha remains forever. Whereas the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha came because they conquered the land. And then unfortunately, when Klai Yisrael went into Golus, that Kedusha that they lost fell away. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Lev Zeira, V'lemeya Ola Ba'al Mehudachal. Ask the Gemara, we wanted to bring a raya that Beit Shan is not considered based, part of Eretz Yisrael, based on the fact that Remeya ate a vegetable, a leaf. And that's not something that's chayiv and trumas and maestris. So the question is, How can we learn from there to what we are discussing in our shir? Amalei, what happened here was meguda achle. It wasn't just an independent leaf. He took it off from a bundle of vegetables, which obviously chayv and shumas amaisers. Yeraka neged, because the halacha is when we have a bundle of vegetables, as soon as mishiyaged, as soon as they're tied together, then they become chayim and trumas amaiser. Because as the halacha tells us, the fruits, vegetables, are chayim and maisers either when they become edible or when you have gemar melacha. And therefore, when they're put together in a bundle, it's considered that they had a gemar melacha, and therefore you can't eat it without taking off trumas and maisers. Ask the Gemara. But perhaps what happened here was, but they're really chayv and trumas and maisers. Just what happened here was that he forgot, he didn't realize that he was eating something that he wasn't supposed to eat. To which the Gemara answers, and that's how we began this sugya. Has to behenta shal tzadikim, ene kadosh baruch hu mevi takal al yadam. If we know, as we will be, as we learned and will continue learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that animals don't eat what they're not supposed to eat. Tzadikim atzmam lekoshkein, certainly it cannot have possibly happened that may ate something which he shouldn't have eaten. Says the Gemara, v'dimma isa lemen makam acher. Ask the Gemara, maybe he took off maaser on these leaves from elsewhere. Answers the Gemara, le'nechshu chaverim l'tzut men amukav. They, Talmidei Chachamim are careful not to take trumas and maisers from produce which is not right there. And the Rishonim debate what is this, why is this? Rashi explains, because if you're going to be taking trumas and maisers from something or on something which isn't there, assuming that it's still in existence, but it may not be in existence, and therefore what you did becomes meaningless. Taisus Arosh says we could always rely, as we're going to learn in our coming sugyas, we could always rely on a chazakah if something was in existence, it remains in existence. And therefore he explained, it's a gzeris ha-kosuf that the pasuk says, v'rimoysim imenu. And therefore Taisus Arosh takes this a step further. Even in a case where you have everything in front of you, so that the concern that Rashi just told us that maybe it's still no longer in existence is not there. But since, according to Tosafos Rosh explanation, there's a gzeiros hakosuf that it has to be near each other. So even when we're taking trumas and maisers for things that are next to each other, they have to be actually touching. There's also a machlokes rishonim. The opinion of Rashi and the Miri and Ritva is that the chiv of min hamukov is only a chiv the rabbanon, but based on the Tosafos Rosh that we just quoted, it actually should be a chiv the raisa. Ask the Gemara. So that isn't a possibility. But ask the Gemara. Perhaps what Rameya did was damanosav ena betzadzeh. He looked at one part of the trum of the vegetable v'ach betzad acher. Then he took from the other side that he left over, which should be the maisa. Says the Gemara, fair question. But have his, says the Gemara, comments the Gemara, Amalei hazai man gab rabbi mesedalei. Rabbi Shuman Zara said that may ate without taking trumas and maisers. So the Gemara is saying that all of your thinking that what you say that he might have done this or may have done that is not true, because Rabbi Shuban Zaris knew what he was talking about. There's a question. So our Gemara just introduced that one of the ways you could take Meiser is Noisen Einem Bitzad Zeh, Voichem Bitzad Echer. So Rashi's opinion is that even when something is full-fledged Tevel, and it's Mechuyiv and Trumas and Meisers Medaraisa, Noisen Einem Bitzad Zeh, Voichem Bitzad Echer is acceptable. Because he quotes the Gemara Masech the Kedushin that says Truma can be taken by Machshava. Tosus disagrees. And Tosus says that you could only rely on Noisen Einem Bitzad Zeh V'Oichem Bitzad Acher by Demai, which doesn't have a full Chiyuv. But something which has a Chiyuv D'Raisa, which is not the Mai, you can't rely on that. And that's similar to the Pshat of the Rambam, that the Rambam says that you could only rely on this approach by something which is Mechuyiv in something Midrabbanan. But something that's Midaraisa is that it's not going to be an acceptable approach. But then I saw that the Poskim discuss that how could we make a bracha when we take off Maisrus, and if there's no Dibur, we're just doing it this way, why should that be acceptable? So explains from Kiv Eger, if there's no Maisa, and the halacha is when there's no Maisa, we don't make a bracha. But when we take off Trumas and Maisrus, the halacha requires us to make a bracha. How can we understand this? So Kiv Eger says, ultimately, every time we take Truma and Maiser, we're going to do a Maiser. Because at one point, we're going to have to give the Truma and Maiser to the Kohen and Levi. That's why it's always considered an act, and that's why a bracha can be recited. Says the Gemara, my Behemta Shet Tzadikim, we keep on referring, says the Gemara, in our sugya, about the Behemta Shet Tzadikim that didn't eat something that kosher. So the Gemara wants to know exactly what is this all about. Says the Gemara, Pichspa Yoav, Kazal Pidyon Shvuyim. Pichspa was going to do the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. Pogabeg Ginoy Narai. He found, on the way, he came to a river, Amalei, and he said to the river, Ginoy, river, Chalokli Meimacha, split for me, Vavabach, in order that I should be able to pass through. Of course, the Mepharshim say, how is it possible to say that he spoke to the river? So some say that he didn't speak to the river. The Tysus asked this question. One time Tysus offers that they didn't speak to the river, he spoke to the Sorosh Elyam, to Tzmalch and Shemayim. Another Pshat says that he says Tysus that this wasn't a conversation that actually took place. But what happened here was that this was going on in the mind of a Pichspanyar, that this is what I say, and this is what the river responds, the back and forth. Amalei, to which the river says to him, At oilach lasa ritzoyin chob, you're going to do what Hashem wants you to do, which is to go do the mitzvah pinyin shvuyim. V'ani oilach lasa ritzoyin koini. And I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do, which Hashem wants me to continue flowing on a steady basis. At the Suffolk Isaac, Suffolk Eyat Isa. We're not, he says, you're not certain that what you're going to do you will be accomplished. You don't know for sure that you'll be able to accomplish to get the mitzvah pinyin shvuim done. And ni vadi Isa. I am confident that what I'm doing will be successful. Amalei, to which your Pichas Ben Yor said to the river, Im Eyat Chaylik, if you refuse to do what I ask, I make a gzera that water will never flow through you. And at that point, the river had no option for chalaklei. There was this individual that was carrying wheat to make matzahs for Pesach. Amalei, and he was traveling along with a Pichspan Yav. And a Pichspan Yav said to him, said to the river, chalok nami lahai, the mitzvah osik. Split for this person also who's doing a mitzvah. Cholikle. So he split for this person as well. Then continues the Gemara, Hava Hutaya, the love of Adayu. There was this Arab that was also traveling along with them. And Amalei, a Pinchas Ben Yoav said to the river, Chaloik Lami Laihai. Split for him as well. The Loilema, that there should be Chiloshev, that people say, Kach Oisla Bnei Leviya, that this person accompanied the Pinchas Ben Yoav. And Rav Pinchas Ben Yor ignored the people that travel with him, and says the Gemara cholikle it split for him. So the way the Chroidim explain this dialogue between Rav Pinchas Ben Yor and the river, the what he was saying to him, that the river was saying to Rav Pinchas Ben Yor that, what is our obligation in this world? Our obligation is to try to do a mitzvah. So all you have to do is try to do the mitzvah. And if the river doesn't, if there's a river, then you did yours. To which Rav Pinchas Ben Yair responded that that's not the way I understand it. And the way I understand to explain the Gemara is based on the Pasuk by Kriyas Yamsev. The Pasuk says, V'yayit Moshes Yod El Ayom, V'yashur Yom Lifnei Sparkel Eisona. And Chazal say, what is the definition of the word Eisona? L'tnoi Arishin. Shisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a stipulation, Shabaras Ayam, that when he created the rivers and ocean, Shikara Ba'ais, when necessary, it would split. And the question is that the question that Dor HaChaim asks is that we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the river to split, the Yam Suf, they began a debate. And the river said, I was created on the third day of creation, and you were created on the sixth day of creation. And we see that the river wasn't ready to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made up with him. And the same thing here, why does the river refuse to split when Pinchas Ben Yair wanted it split? And the answer the Or HaChaim gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Teva. And since it's Teva, the world continues on a regular basis. However, there's one string that's stronger than Teva. And the one thing that's stronger than Teva is Torah. And that's what the Tanai HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Maase Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there's going to be Teva in the world, and Teva continues under all circumstances. But the Yam said that's the case. But Pinchas Ben Yair said, I come with the Koyach HaTorah. And since I come with the Koyach HaTorah, that's why I have a right to make this demand. And therefore, and then indeed, the river split. And what the Gemara says, who was the first person the Gemara identified that came along? And that was the person who was carrying matzahs, carrying wheat to make matzahs. And from here we see, I saw that the Poskim point out, the Shaila of Jews of the Nezer discusses a question which has been a controversial issue for many years. And he discusses the issue of machine matzahs. Is a machine matzahs acceptable or not halachically acceptable? And one of the reasons that the Avni Nezer was an opponent of machine matzahs is obviously that when we're baking machine matzahs, it doesn't take as much effort as when baking matzahs by hand. And Al Gemara, he says, is teaching us that part of the way of baking matzah is by doing it where it takes effort and exertion. As Al Gemara says, that there was a person who was traveling and carrying the matzahs. Why was he carrying the matzahs, carrying the wheat? To show that he was exerting himself to do what was supposed to be done. Here we learn that Pinchas Ben Yair said to the Yam, Gozrani Alecha. What does it mean, Gozrani Alecha? He says the Rabbi Cheskel Mekuzmer, what he was says, that I am you, my Avodas Hashem is greater than your Avodas Hashem. What does that mean? He says to him, your Avodas Hashem is limited because you know that what you're intended to do, what you're supposed to do, you're doing. But if you weren't certain that you would accomplish, it wouldn't be certain that you would do. What makes the Avod of a Tzaddik greater, that makes the Avod of Klal Yisrael is greater, is because I am prepared to do the Ritzoyin Hashem even when we're not certain we're going to be successful. And that's why my Avodas Hashem is greater than yours. I'm Rav Yosef. So after Rav Yosef heard this entire episode, he said that if that's the case, it turns out that Pinchas Ben Yair is even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and all the people that went out of Mitzrayim. Dila Hasam, we know by Kriyas Yamsuf Chadzimna. The yam split once. Rilu v'hochop. And here, as the Gemara just reported, it happened twice zimna. It happened three times, says the Gemara. The double hochanami suggests the Gemara here too. Namichad zimna. It only happened once. It split once for all three of them, but it isn't necessarily an indication that it is split three times. So says the Gemara, indeed, that it only split once, but it still, we see that Pinchas B'Yor was still on the Madreg Kamosh Rishit and Reuben, that just like it split for them, it split for Klai Yisrael, it split for Pinchas B'Yor. There's a beautiful vart that is said in this Gemara that Beis Yosef was once learning and he wasn't able to understand a certain Mishnah. But we know that the Beis Yosef had a Malach, and that Malach normally is called a Maggid. And that Maggid came to Beis Yosef and told him Pshat in the Mishnah that he couldn't figure out. Then the Beis Yosef went to Shul. And he was in shul, and he heard a young boy learning the Mishnah, and he was saying pshat in this Mishnah so beautifully, and he felt so terrible. He felt, I needed to get a malach to tell me pshat, and you, this boy, is able to figure it out without anything. So the Maggid explained to Beis Yosef, once this pshat was brought to the world through the Maggid, then it becomes easier for anyone else to be able to say that pshat. The reason you were able to achieve understanding that pshat is only because the boy was able to figure out that pshat is because that pshat was already in the world previously. Here too, what was being said was the reason Rav Pinchas B'Yor had a situation that the river split for him, it wasn't because he was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Just Moshe Rabbeinu brought that to the world, and once Moshe Rabbeinu brought that to the world, that's how it became easier for everybody to be able to understand that pshat. Says the Mar Ikla, the Hush Pizer, Pinchas B'Yor comes to a certain place, Ramle Sar L'Chamri, and they gave barley to his donkey to eat, the Loyachal and refused to eat. Cheftinu. So what happened is, they thought maybe the animal was refusing to eat it because it wasn't sifted clean enough. Layachal, and they still refused to eat it. Nagrinu, so they took it and they sifted it by hand, and still the animal layachal. Amle, dimalay ma'asron. Maybe the barley, so Rav Pinchas B'Yor said, maybe you didn't take off ma'aser from the barley. Esrinu v'achal, they took off ma'aser, and the animal immediately ate. Amar, Rav, so at Amar, at that point, Rav Pinchas B'Yor said, "Anizu hochalaset zayin koina." This donkey is participating in doing a mitzvah, and you want to serve it. V'ata oisim lachem tefolim, that, and you want to serve it something that it's not allowed to eat. Of course, it will never eat something that's not allowed to eat. So, based on this Gemara, I saw Rav Yosef Engel in the Sefer Beis Oitzer suggest that from here we see there's a big question of if something which is osma drabonon, is it an issa gavra or issa cheftza? And here we have a right that it's issa cheftza. Because if it was an issa gavra doesn't apply to a donkey. It's issa cheftza, so then it applies to donkeys as well. From here that we see that this was not allowed to be eaten by the donkey, it's a raya that something that's also is also midrabanon, something that's also midrabanon becomes a issa cheftza. Says the Gemara, umi mechayva, is that the halacha that you have to take off trumas to maisa from something that's brought from Amoritz, but tanan, have we not learned in the Mishnah Masechta Tanai, halakech lezera, if you buy produce for the purpose of sowing it, planting it, lebehema to serve it to animal, the kanach la'iris, or you buy flour to be used for making leather, v'shem l'ner, or you buy olive oil any oil. For candle, Shem Los Bais Kalim, we buy oil to shmir. Nalach is part of the Mai, says the Gemara. So why was this animal refusing to eat, where halachically it was allowed to eat? Answers the Gemara, Hassam, Hetmala, Amr of Yachan, Loishana, El Shalacha Metchil Behema. When is this halacha applicable? This halacha is applicable when it was bought originally for animal food. But here, it was really Avalacha Metchila, La Adam. It was bought for human consumption. And then Nimlacha Leil Behema. And then they started to feed it to an animal. The halacha is Chayav La'aser. But Tanya, and the Gemara brings a raya that the Brisa teaches us how Lokei Peres Menashuk La'chila. If you buy fruit for eating, and then have a nimlach aleinu behema, and then you decide to serve it to an animal, the halachas are raised aloyite l'fnei behemtai. You're not allowed to serve it to your animal, v'loy b'nei b'chemes chaveroi, not even to somebody else's animal, elam kein iser. And therefore, this produce apparently was originally bought for that purpose, and therefore, since it was originally brought for human consumption, that's why it's understandable why the animal refused to eat it. Says the Gemara, Shami Rebbe. So at that point, Rebbe heard that Pinchas ben Yair came to his area, Nafik L'Ape, and he went out to greet him. Amale, and he asked him, Ritzoin Chalisot Etzli, maybe come and eat by me. Amale Hain. And Pinchas ben Yair said, okay. But he said, Tzav upon himself, Rebbe. And at that point, Rebbe was so happy that he's going to have Pinchas ben Yair as a guest. Amaloi, so Pinchas said to him, Kibdum ata shenmuda yisrom emeni. You think that I'm a person that I don't want to have any benefit from any Jew. That's not true. Rather, I know, says Pinchas ben Yair, the Yisrael kadoshim hein, Klai Yisrael are very holy people. However, yesh roitza, that people that want to do what's right, veiloi, so he wants to have guests, but he just can't afford. Yesh yeshloi, and they're those people that have the financial ability to have guests. However, Vayner writes, they don't really want to have the guests, but they invite because they have no choice. The Ksiv and the Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Yair says in Mishlei, Al Tilcham Es Lechem Ra'ayin, don't eat by somebody who's not generous, don't have any benefit from him. You are opening up something, you're opening up a stomach. He may invite you to eat and drink, but he's not sincere. But says Rav Pinchas ben Yair about Rebbe, when I think about you, I know that you are a person that truly wants to have guests, and yeshloch, and also you're wealthy enough to have the guest. However, says Rav Pinchas ben Yair to him, Mia hashtem sarivna, I must at this point decline. The mitzvah katarachna. I'm about to do a mitzvah, as we learned before, opinion shvuyim. But he says to Rebbe, ki hedrena, when I come back, after I have finished doing the mitzvah, asin alach l'gabach, I'm going to come back to you. So I saw that the Svarim explained, Yisrael kadoshim hein. All of Klai Yisrael are holy. However, you have many different, as the Gemara just said, there are many different types of people in Klai Yisrael. Some people in Klai Yisrael are generous people. They just don't have the financial wherewithal. Are good people, they don't have the financial wherewithal. Then you have people who have the financial wherewithal, but they're not generous. But what happens? What happens is that every time we do a mitzvah, from the mitzvah that we do, is created a malach. But the malach, the way that malach looks, is really based on the way we do the mitzvah. So here, some people do a mitzvah with their heart, and some do a mitzvah with their body, where they actually fulfill the mitzvah. And what happens is that together, all of us together, join together and having the mitzvah done properly. And that's what he said, Yisrael Kadoshim. If we put together all of Klai Yisrael, we're going to have a perfect mitzvah. But right now, he says, but you, I don't need, you don't need to rely on other Jews. You're a person that I could be comfortable wants to do the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, ki asa, so Rav Pinchas ben Yoel went back on his way to do the mitzvah, and when he comes back, it's Rami, so he given Rebbe his word that he's going to come back. He's going to come back to his home, and he walked through an entrance in his home, and that entrance in Rebbe's home had white mules. They're very dangerous. He says the Malach HaMavis is in this home, and that's where I'm going to eat. Shama Rebbe. And Rebbe hears that Rebbe Pinchas ben Yoel is here. And Norfolk Lape, he comes out to greet him. Amalim has been in Lahu. He says, I'm going to sell the animals. Don't worry. Amalim, Sir Pinchas says to him, that's not a good way to solve my problem. The people who are going to buy the animal, you're not allowed to sell it to them. So he says, I'm going to be mafka those animals. So he says, that's certainly not a good approach. Mafka shazeka. By you doing so, those animals will roam in the street. And by those animals roaming in the street, they're going to certainly do damage. She says, I'll take off their hoofs so they shouldn't be able to kick anybody. So she says, Iket Tzar Bal Chayim. Doing something like that involves Tzar Bal Chayim. So she says, Katlin Aluhu. So Rebbe says, I'll kill them. Iket, he says, that's called Bal Tashkes, destroying a good animal. From here we see, the Pais can point out, that we're not allowed to cause Tzar Bal Chayim. That means just to be cruel to an animal is certainly usur. But to kill him is not a problem if you're doing it for a constructive purpose. That's one of the reasons why in Halacha there is no isur of us eating meat. So Rebbe was begging Rav Pinchas ben Yoel to eat by him. And says the Margova Tor Benayim. And at that point, there was a mountain that came up between Rav Pinchas ben Yoel and Rebbe. At that point, Rebbe realized that he and Rav Pinchas ben Yoel are in different levels. And since they're on totally different levels, Rebbe realized that why did the mountain come up? The mountain came up to tell him, it's something that you shouldn't be doing. Leave Rav Pinchas ben Yoel alone. You're not on the same level. So at that point, Rebbe said, Baruch Rebbe, Vama, Ma b'chayeim kach. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tzaddikim this much, and since Rav Pinchas ben Yoel never wanted to eat by someone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the situation that he shouldn't eat somewhere else. But Misos al kach kama kama, certainly tzaddikim, after they leave this world, they are certainly very great. They're even greater after they leave this world than when they're here. The Shnamar, as the Pasuk says, when they were burying a Navi Sheker, V'yem Kaimra Ish, V'nei Roaz Gedud V'shlichos Ish V'kever Alisha, V'yelech Ish Yiga Ish B'tzomis Alisha, V'chi V'yakom Raglov. What happened here was, there was this person they were about to bury, a Rosha, and then there was troops coming against them. And because they were coming against them, they just dropped him, and they dropped him into the grave of Elisha. But Elisha, of course, did not want to have a Rosha next to him, and because he didn't want to have the Rosha next to him, it went just away by itself. Some explain, Gedolim Tzadikim and Misason refers to the day of the yard site. The Misason, the day of the yard site of a tzaddik, is a day where a tzaddik goes up in the Olam HaEmes. And because that's the day that the tzaddik rises up in the Olam HaEmes, that's why that's a very special day. Says the Rebbe Leo Dessler, what's Pshat in this Gemara? He says that many times there are tzaddikim in this world, but when we have tzaddikim in this world, we don't necessarily are all, because we're in a gashmistic world, and the tzaddik is also in this world, that's a world of gashmias, his ability to influence us, his ability to teach us becomes somewhat limited. But when the tzaddik is no longer enveloped by the gashmias of this world, then the hashpa that the tzaddik could have is so much greater. And that's what this Gemara is teaching us. There's also an interesting question. What is the halacha if we discover a tzaddik and a rasha buried next to it? So the Shas HaTshuvas, the Shulchan Aruch clearly indicates, ain kaivin rasha eifel tzaddik. We have to be careful not to bury a tzaddik next to the rasha. But there is a machlokes hapoiskim. If that happened, we know that the halacha pinui hameis of exhuming a nifter is not so simple. Is that a good enough reason to do so? Amar Papa Labaya, says the Gemara, maybe the reason this rasha got up is for a different reason altogether. For dima l'kiyuma by Berachas Eliyahu. Maybe this was a fulfillment of the bracha of Eliyahu, that when Eliyahu HaNavi was leaving the world, he gave Elisha bracha, v'hino p'nei shnayim bruchacha alai, that you should have the ability double what I did. And Elisha once was Mechai Mason, the Ben HaShanamnes, and this will be the second time. So Gemara, Amalei Ihachi, if you think that this is a fulfillment of that bracha, Hainet Tanya Raglav Amad Ulbeis V'layaluch, that this dead person got up, but he didn't go back home. So there was no Tchisa Mason. El B'mai Kayim, says the Gemara, so if Eliyahu gave him a bracha, that you'll be able to Mechai Mason twice, what was the second time? Says Gemara, could Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sharipa Tzaras Naaman, what Elisha did once is that he was the one that cured Naaman from Tzaras, which is Shkula Kameis, which is equivalent, somebody's a Mitzar is like a Mesh, Namar, Al Nahi Si Kameis. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Laman Nikla Shemam, why are these mules called Yamim? Says the Gemara, Shemasa Metal Celebrius, they cause fear to everybody that comes in contact to them. Nobody was ever asked me about that he was bitten by a white mule and he survived. Says the Gemara, we see that people do recover. Is that the wound got better. Says the Gemara, that sometimes the gut does get better. Says the Gemara, when the knees are white, from a bite from that type of a mule, Rachman Slan, there is no refuah. Says the Gemara, Ein oid milvadoi. Amar Chanina fil kshofim. Nothing has ability over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even kshofim. Says Gemara, Hayit stavakam mahadril mishkul afrim betusa kardir Chanina. There was a woman that wanted to retrieve earth from under the bed of Rachanina, that she should be able to do kshofim with it and cause him to die. Amalei told her, Shakuli, you can do what you want, Loi Mistafinimus, you won't be successful. Why? Ain't I Mavadikasiv? Ask the Mavamar Abyak Laman the Kushma Kshofim, Shemachishim Pfalin Shemalia. So we see that Kshofim do have power. Says the Gemara, Shani Rabbi Chanina, says the Gemara, the Nefishas Chusei. And this Gemara is the famous basis for the famous word from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, says that somebody who believes in, somebody who's strong in believing in Einoi Milvadoi, somebody who's strong that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him all the time, nothing can have any power over him. Nobody gets hurt in this world, unless that was what was decreed from Shemayim. We're not in control, it's all men of Shemayim. Says the Gemara, if somebody hurts himself, it brings a kapara like he brought a carbon. It's only in the big toe, on the right big toe, the nikkav sheni, when he hurts himself twice, through the cause of Dvar Mitzvah, he's doing a mitzvah and he still suffers that way. That is the biggest kapara. Says the he never wanted a benefit from anybody else. So when he came to eat bread, it was only bread that he owned. And from when he was old enough, he didn't even benefit from the meal that his father provided. He wanted to completely rely only on Hashem.